Good morning, everyone. Happy Easter. David here. And before we look at those scriptures together from Matthew and the book of Acts, why don't we pray and ask God by his Spirit to come and reveal himself to us afresh this morning through his word. So let's pray together. Loving Father, we come to learn more about you this morning. And as we gather around your word, we pray that we might become better disciples of yours. So we declare this morning, Lord, that we're ready to hear you speak. We're ready to be challenged. We come against any distractions in Jesus' name. And we're ready to hear what you want to say to us this morning. Amen. Amen. There's one line from this story that I want to think about this morning. It's a well-known story, the Easter story, the glorious story of Christ's resurrection, of his coming out of the tomb victoriously. But that there's one particular line this morning that I want us to focus on. And it might be one that maybe you've never thought of this morning. And so we're going to look at Matthew 28, and we're just going to look at verse 2. Let me read it to you. Matthew 28, verse 2. It says, there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. And that's it. That's the sentence that I want us to briefly think about. Because I love it. I love the picture of this majestic angel. You know, angels weren't fluffy beings with wings that flapped around and looked pretty. Most of the time when angels spoke, the first thing they had to say was, do not be afraid. Why? Because they were scary. Or at least they looked it. And here you have an angel sat on top of the stone. I can imagine him pushing it out of the way, leaping on it, and his legs just kind of, you know, swinging away as he sits there with a big smile on his face. Wow, what a moment. What a moment. Imagine how chuffed he would have been when he got that assignment. In my head, it's a bit like, you know, in Fireman Sam, some of you maybe at the beginning, when there's that little kind of box that goes up like that and a ticket comes out of it. In my head, that's what it might be like in the kind of angelic common room as they kind of hang around and, you know, I'm sure this is not deeply theological, okay? But as they hang around and play pool and drink tea and wait, and then tick, 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 this ticket comes through. And imagine how chuffed that angel would have been when he picks up that ticket and he sees what it is that he has to do. But let's rewind, shall we, a couple of days, actually, with that angel in mind. Because imagine what the angels have gone through in heaven over the last couple of days. They've seen Jesus with his friends having the Last Supper. They've seen Jesus slowly abandoned by his friends as he walks up the hill to Calvary. They've watched as his hands are nailed into the wood, as the cross is lifted up, as his body drops, as every breath is painful. The angels have looked on and watched. And there's a line in Matthew, it's in 26, verse 53, and Jesus says this. He says, do you not think that I can call on my Father and at once legions of angels are at his disposal? So the angels are there. You can almost imagine them watching Jesus on the cross, poised for action, ready to go, looking at the Father thinking, okay, Lord, are you going to send me now? Okay, Lord, we're ready. Okay, Lord, when are we going to go and rescue Jesus? But it's not to be. You can imagine the angels looking on as Jesus' body is taken down from the cross, as it's laid in the tomb. And who knows what they would have felt over that Good Friday and Easter Saturday. We can just imagine, can't we? We can hypothesize about the feelings that the angels would have had. Because angels are created beings. They're not all-knowing. They're not all-present. So they wouldn't have known the plan. Some of them might have thought, this is it. This is it. We're done. This is the end. Others might have been hoping against hope that something was going to happen. Some might have been hopeless. Some might have been angry. Who knows what they would have felt? And so there they are, after seeing the Son of God go through pain, after being ready to go and help, those legions of angels ready to jump in, but not being asked to, watching, hoping, despairing. And then on Easter Sunday, they're sat around the angelic common room and the ticket goes up. But before that, I wonder, as the angels are waiting around, maybe looking at each other, despairing, not knowing what's going on, before that assignment came through on Easter Sunday, when it was Easter Saturday and they were feeling despairing and unsure and worried, I wonder how many of us this morning can equate with that. That we look out at the world and we join in with that despair. That we look around at what's going on with COVID-19 and maybe with the angels we think, Lord, what's happening next? Is this what it's going to be like for a long time? Lord, are you about to act right now decisively, or are we just waiting for an assignment to happen? Is this what life's going to be like now? I wonder for lots of us if we can understand how the angels maybe might have felt on Easter Saturday, unsure, worried, having seen something dramatic and painful happen in the world, but being as they were shut in up in heaven and as we are shut in our homes, unable, most of us, to go out and do and to help and to be alongside. It's painful. It's difficult. But then comes Easter Sunday, right? And then comes the kind of Fireman Sam assignment machine, chick, 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 chick. The ticket comes through, you know, angel number 3, this is for you. And he gets given the ticket and he looks at it. And he looks at it again. He thinks, look at this one, lads, look at this one. He reads it again. He rubs his eyes and he thinks, what? And I wonder if he understood why he was rolling the stone away. Surely he might have had a bit of an idea. And so down he goes. Down he goes. An earthquake as he goes down. This is a major thing. This is shaking heaven and earth. The event that's about to happen. As history is split in two. So the ground is split in two. And there's an earthquake as the angel comes down from heaven. And he pushes the stone away, rolls the stone away, up he gets, sitting on the stone, a kind of victory seat. And he's the first one to see Jesus come out of the tomb. I wonder what the exchange was between the angel and Jesus. I wonder if they did some kind of holy fist bump. I wonder if they looked at each other and smiled. I wonder if they embraced. I wonder if they just looked and understood that this was a major, momentous occasion in the history of the world. But the angel's there. He's on the stone, his legs swinging. He's having a great day. What a guy to get that assignment. He must have been really chuffed. Of all the angels and all the assignments going around, he gets that one. Go roll the stone away. Let Jesus out. So you know what, the first thing I want us to think about is that there's good news this morning. If you feel like you're in the angelic kind of common room, if in your head it's kind of Good Friday, Easter, Saturday, you're kind of hanging around in that common room, playing pool, but your heart's not in it, making small talk over the coffee machine, but you're thinking, is this it? As the angels thought, I'm poised, I want to go and help Jesus, but they couldn't. I wonder if we feel like that. There's so much we want to do out there. But we can't. We're stuck. We're just watching. But there's good news because, like those angels, Easter is coming. At some point, Sunday is coming. At some point, the resurrection is coming. At some point, the assignment machine in the corner is going to go tick, 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 and your assignment's going to come up, and you're going to take it, and you're going to read it. At some point, that's going to happen. But you know what? There's even better news this morning because there's more. There's more. We're not just waiting in the same ways that the angels might have waited, a bit unsure what's going to happen. We're not just waiting because there's more. Because you know what? It wasn't the power of the angel that brought Jesus to life. It wasn't the power of the angelic realm that breathed life into the body of Jesus Christ. Yes, the angels helped. Yes, the angel rolled the stone away, otherwise Jesus would have been stuck inside, although I'm sure he could have sorted it out. But it wasn't the angel that brought Jesus to life. It was God's Spirit. It was the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead. We read this in Romans 8:11. It says, "And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you." So if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. So the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you this morning, lives in me. Those of us who have become disciples of Jesus, those of us who are doing our best to walk in his footsteps and to follow him day by day, those of us who are getting to know him better, those of us that have said, "Come, Holy Spirit, fill me." It's the same Spirit. It's one and the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead that lives in me, that lives in you. And so this means, my friends, that when we die, as we all will, unless the Lord comes back before, when we all die, when our bodies give up, we too will be resurrected. We too, like Jesus, will come out of the grave. Maybe, who knows, with the angels watching and smiling as well. One day we will see Jesus face to face with resurrected bodies that don't ache, that don't fade, that don't hurt, that don't crumble, that don't give up. But it's not just a hope of the future. We are Easter people. We are people of a resurrected king who have hope of a resurrection body. But it's more than that too. It's not just something we can look forward to in the future. Let's move to Acts 10. Acts 10, there's a couple of things here in Acts 10, 38. There's so much great stuff here of the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. But I'm not going to get carried away, because I'm sure we've all got Easter dinners ready to be enjoyed and Easter eggs to be enjoyed. But there's a couple of things I want to pull out from this. Acts 10:38 says this: "God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him." And we've also learned that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that Holy Spirit that anointed Jesus, lives in us. And I don't know how powerful you feel this morning. I don't feel particularly powerful, but the Word tells me I am. My Bible tells me I am. My faith tells me I am. And you know what? We live as anointed people. And we pray for the sick. And we tell demons where to go. And we speak prophetically into situations. And we speak hope. And we speak life to a world that needs to know it. But we're also people that live, don't we, in the now and the not yet of the kingdom of God. That we pray for the sick. And some of them are healed, but some are not. And we pray for words to build people up and words of knowledge, and we prophesy in part, and we speak these words in part, but we also see through a mirror dimly. But the challenge for us is that we join in with that kingdom business as much as we can. As much as we can, when we're maybe stuck at home, we can still pray for people. We can still seek the face of God. We can still say, "Come, Holy Spirit, empower my ministry. Give me words of knowledge for people. Give me words of healing for people, prayers of healing for people. Let me have boldness in my prayers." Because the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you this morning. That Holy Spirit that raised the dead body of Jesus back to life, that will resurrect us one day in the future and give us bodies that are incorruptible, that same Spirit lives in you and lives in me and helps us to walk that road in the now and the not yet of the kingdom, but where we see glimpses of the power of Jesus, the resurrected King. And finally, there's a challenge in verse 42 as well. And Peter says, this is Peter speaking. He says, "He commanded us," says Peter, "to preach to the people, to testify he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead." And later on, the Holy Spirit comes on people and they're speaking in tongues, they're praising God. And Peter says, "Can anyone stop them being baptized?" And many, many are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So there's a challenge for us, right? That we're encouraged to do the same. That we're encouraged to testify to a world that needs to know there's more to life than this. Especially today, especially in this current situation, needs to know there's more to life than fear of COVID-19. There's hope. There's hope of life everlasting. There's hope that one day our bodies will not be frail, that one day our body will not be susceptible, that one day our bodies will not crumble or struggle, but that we will be with Jesus forever and ever. And there's also that warning that one day every knee will bow to the judge of the living and the dead. That he is the judge of all, and he knows all of our hearts. He knows me more than I know myself, and yet he loves me more than anyone could ever love me. And you know what the Bible says? If we say we are without sin, we deceive ourselves. And so the struggle is to own up and say, you know what, yes Lord, I've made mistakes, but thank you that you love me. As the judge of the living and the dead, he also offers, we see in verse 36, the good news of peace through Jesus, the Lord of all, the resurrected King, Jesus, the Lord of all. And we as the people of God have that opportunity to preach that message of a King who loves and who brings peace and is resurrected and is the judge of all of our hearts. So just a few words of encouragement and challenge this morning. As we recap, as we come into land, that those angels in the common room, as it were, waiting for that assignment on Easter Sunday, that might resonate with how we're feeling, unsure, wanting to do something but not knowing what we can do. And then the fact that as Jesus comes out of the grave, the same power that raised him from the dead lives in you, that you are anointed, those of us that follow Jesus and have asked him to come into our lives, we're anointed by the Holy Spirit. And he wants us to walk in his power for his kingdom. And finally, for some of us, maybe the sense of the assurance of eternal life. So I invite you to pray with me as we end. So maybe a moment of quiet to say, "Come, Holy Spirit, speak to us about what it is you talk to us about today. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit." And you know what? If this morning maybe you haven't yet made a decision to try and follow Jesus, maybe you're not sure if you'd call yourself a Christian or you're not sure if you'd call yourself a disciple of his, I'm going to say a really simple prayer, and you might want to say it after me out loud, or you might want to say it in your hearts. And this isn't a tick box thing. It's not a that now you're not and then you will be kind of tick, but it's the beginning of a journey. Which we're all on, about getting to know Jesus better. But it's an important first step where we're going to acknowledge that we are sinful people, that we all make mistakes, and we're going to ask Jesus to come into our hearts through his Holy Spirit. And if you do join in with this prayer, either out loud or with the quietness of your heart, we'd really encourage you, do get in touch with us. We can talk to you a bit more about it, and we can send you a Bible and some things that will help you. So I'm going to say a prayer if that's you, and then I'm going to sum up with a prayer that everyone can say. So for those of you that want to start your journey with Jesus, this is the prayer for us. King Jesus, we thank you that you love us. We thank you that the same power that raised you from the grave can live in us. I acknowledge you as judge of all of our hearts. I acknowledge the wrong that I've done. So would you come into my heart through your Holy Spirit? Amen. And for those of us that have been walking with Jesus for a long time, would you speak to us, Holy Spirit, about what it is you want us to know from this story of resurrection? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.